Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Heretic Hammer podcast. I'm your host, Marshall, and this is my co-host, Dylan.
Hello, hello.
And today we are taking a break from some lore, and we're going to get into a couple episodes relating to hobbying and the game, the tabletop game of 40K itself. You, at least, have done a good bit of hobbying, but for you, it's been Gunpla.
Yeah, I've been to the Hobby Lobby a few times here and there, yeah, I guess you could say.
I like how specifically you went to the Hobby Lobby.
Well, where else am I going to go?
I don't know. Maybe somebody, maybe a store that is kinder to the gays.
Oh, you're thinking of Michael's. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Well, there's Hobby Lobby, and then there's Hobby Lobby for the gays, and that's Michael's. Hobby Lobby or Michael's have great options for your cheap hobbying things, which we'll get into a little bit later.
I wasn't meaning for this to become its own thing, and I shop at Michael's anyway, so
yeah,
don't even worry about it.
No, I mean, I've definitely gotten hobby supplies at both. But today we're talking about 40K hobbying, but your experience in Gunpla could definitely come into fold in the next couple of episodes. Today we're really going to talk about like supplies and like the guidelines, especially for picking your first army. So the first thing I'm going to note is rule number one about all of this stuff with 40K hobbying, especially, right? You know, all hobbying, you know, will have the people that will say, you know, you need to paint this way, you need to build this way, you need to do this, you need to do that. These are the good products, these are the bad. Similarly, because 40K is a game, on top of that, then you have not only you not only have hobbying elitism, but you'll have gaming elitism. And thus, you'll obviously see plenty of online chatter between, you know, about this army being good at various things. Like, this is a shooting army, this is a melee army. Even this episode, I'm going to make a statement like that, you know, where I'll say, like, this is very much for you if you want to, you know, have mostly shooting or if you want to have mostly melee. That doesn't mean in any capacity that you should look at that as your delineation to specifically choose one army specifically. If anything, you should think about stuff like some of this stuff kind of like tiebreakers. If you like it, you like it. Like, you can always find ways to do anything, you know, especially 40K, while people put on things about, you know, the meta and stuff like that, you will find your way to play your game. Similarly with like, if this would be too hard to paint or whatnot, like, especially, you know, I went through that with, I wanted to play AdMech, but I was very intimidated by painting them because they have a lot of tiny bits and I didn't feel like I was going to be ready. But honestly, with inevitably how kind of easy it became to kind of be able to get even a decent level for army painting, it wasn't something I should have worried about. You know, there are only two armies that I would say that maybe shouldn't be started on, and they're generally both the knights.
And we'll be starting with those next week, so stay tuned as we...
No, but, you know, even then, if you still want to play the knights, just do it. You know, if you see the big mech and want to run with it, just, you know, don't let me tell you what to do. Just pick the army you like, even if it's just, I think they look cool, then just push forward, especially if you like the lore. All right, so let's talk picking your army. And specifically also, this is going to be my case for kill team. So 40K, as I've alluded to in the past, can be an expensive game. You know, you can get through a lot of models and you can spend a decent amount of money without realizing it sometimes. Don't ever put yourself in the sunk cost fallacy. You know, if you you know, a lot of people will start an army, realize they're not liking it. They're not liking the play. They're not liking building. They're not liking painting, whatever. They just are kind of getting into this point where, like, I'm really not into this anymore. But they'll just keep going because they're like, well, I've already spent this. There are many ways to play the game. You don't need to worry about the sunk cost fallacy. And a great, you know, one option is sticking with like 500 point games, but another is Kill Team. Kill Team is honestly super underrated, and it's an amazing way to learn the basics of like a 40K game. Despite that, a number of rules are different, but like the basics are like there, right? There are basic factors that you can take and transfer them over into a bigger game of 40K, because Kill Team is so beneficial because it's literally like one squad versus another. So like essentially, like, you could just get one squad box and your friend can get one squad box of like five to ten people, things, models in general.
Mm-hmm.
And you can there is a way for you to take those and play a game. So Kill Team kind of being then like one squad kind of allows you, especially if you're like me and you like too many of the factions, it kind of lets you just dip your toes in multiple factions. Now, they do make dedicated Kill Team boxes, right? Like, for example, for Sisters, you'll have Sisters Novitiates. For Eldar, you have two. You have the Corsair Void Reavers. And then you have the Striking Scorpions, mm-hmm. which those just came out. But, and so, like, if you wanted to, you could do something where you, like, you could get one box that maybe is an Eldar. Then you can get another box that maybe is the Leagues of O'Tan one. And then you could try out either of them and kind of see how they build and paint and kind of then be like, okay. And then not only that, you know, you have... Sure, you have like, you know, models from two different armies, but you can still play a game with either of them. So like, to me, Kill Team is like very understated when it comes to getting into 40K kind of in total, because I think a lot of people skip and jump right to, like, because of the rules differences, people just be like, you should just jump right to like a 500 point game or use combat patrol boxes, which, you know, is also like a seclusive 40K game. And by all means, if you have the funds to do that, it's a great option. But, you know, some people don't want to jump in with a $163, you know, test, right?
Yeah, of course.
And from that, then you can at least find your avenue. Otherwise, if you're not really certain what to pick, there are a couple things that you can kind of think about. And maybe even these are kind of connections you could draw to pick your first Kill Team box, for example. We can't kid ourselves. Aesthetics are important. We all care about them.
And yeah, I'm not even gonna joke about that. I, of course, am absolutely considering aesthetics and, you know,
right,
what type of units I want to run. Like 100%. It's like, it's the same thing for me with, you know, when I start playing a new fighting game, when I start playing a new anything, like, what is the character that looks coolest to me? Okay, I'm going to start there. Always. And then learn from that point.
Yeah, I mean, so like, because that's the thing, right? You don't want to spend literally like hours of your life building and painting models that you don't, like, you think are ugly or you just aren't into.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, for example, for me, like, I think Death Guard have really cool lore, and, you know, I think a lot of parts of their, you know, they have a lot of interesting stuff. Like, honestly, their models from like a technical standpoint are great. I mean, like, look at the Death Shroud Terminators. They look cool. They have their awesome scythes. Yeah. You know, they're big, hulking, they're intimidating. But I'm just not into the...
They have the nightmare teeth. Mouth.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not into the teeth coming out of the stomach. And
they look like Soul Calibur rejects.
Yeah, like, I'm just not into everything about them. I love, like, other Chaos Space Marine stuff, but mm-hmm. I'm just not as into the actual things that, like, Death Guard has. And so, like, I don't play them because they're just not my thing. But they're definitely somebody else's thing. And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, objectively, Death Guard have amazing models. But I'm not as into that type of gross. I put in my notes, but I don't like gross. But I'm literally building Skaven right now. And so... They have some gross in there, but it's gross mm-hmm. that I think is cool. So I can't say I don't like any gross. You know, a good thing then to think about, you know, kind of is like, what is your kind of normal play style? Like, what's your default play style? Maybe less than also things like D&D. Because I think a lot of people who get into 40K who were into D&D will think, well, I play, like, I love playing, you know, a bruiser or a tank or a caster or a healer in D&D. And they'll attribute that to 40K because it's also a tabletop game. But in reality, I think it's a lot more fitting to think about, you know, what do you do when you're in kind of more action-y games or something that even maybe a little bit like tactical video games, right? Because
still healer.
But that's what I mean, though. Like games where you have like an XCOM or Fire Emblem, something where you have multiple units, where you're not just playing one class, you know. And then the reason I said action games, because like thinking of something like, you know, playing, even when you're playing something like a Battlefield or a Call of Duty, maybe the older versions, because obviously right now, both of them have like the one, are pretty one dimensional at this point. Hot take. But like, you know, like if you, especially in like shoot, like especially older style Battlefield games, or like if you play Arma, you know, like if you are somebody that is like a shot caller in CSGO, or like you are a sniper all the time in Arma and whatnot, or you generally are like in the trenches, you're going forward, you're trying to move into whatever, like you're trying to be on the front line. Those are things to think about. And then similarly, also the tactical thing. Now, that's not to say if you do love wizards and spellcasting and things like D&D, you shouldn't keep that in mind. But there's a lot of factions that have options for if you like spellcasting and wizards.
So, it's called Age of Sigmar.
Yes. In the current editions, between 10th edition and AOS 4.0, that actually has some truth to it. But... Mm-hmm. The other aspect to it, though, is, you know, like, for example, you know, if you want to be kind of, you know, tactical and shooty, but you do like wizards, you know, you can run a number of psychic units that work with like the Imperial Guard, or psychic units that work with Space Marines, you know, or even Chaos Space Marines, or any part of Chaos for that matter, you know. But if you want to be patient, you know, whatever, there are other options as well. Or, you know, those are the things, though, that I think you should look at. Kind of less specifically, what do you play in, like, what is the one class you play in RPGs? And more of, like, when you're playing the other types of games, sorry, video games and whatnot, how mm-hmm. do you think about, how do you strategize by default? However, back to modeling itself, there's a number of traps that I want you to avoid. And this is especially into the like the hobbying stuff. And one of the big things you'll see is, and like everything, you don't have to necessarily listen to me on this, but do not feel pressured to think that you should just immediately invest in the airbrush, because, you know, or the other like really good brushes, or the, you know, like you know, buying like so-and-so's paintbrush set, or, you know, get this, you know, epic wet palette. You know, you can, you know, a good example is you can always get like the starting painting kit that GW does sell. It can be a bit much. It's like closer to $40. It used to be less, but obviously GW stuff, all that. But you do get a good number of paints and a pair of decent clippers and a brush to work with if you have nothing. Otherwise, right. You know, you can always look at basic painting supplies wherever you can get them. I got, you know, a basic, you know, kind of just plastic palette from Michaels. I've gotten a number of brushes from either Michaels and Hobby Lobby. And they're great brushes. They're really cheap, but they're honestly still really good brushes. Especially, like, honestly, if you want to get like one of those really tiny bristle brushes, like the ones with like the really small tips, get them at something like a Michaels or Hobby Lobby. The astronomical price that GW, for example, will like charge you for a paintbrush is insane. Even if it's small tip, a paintbrush should not cost $25.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if it is, in fact, synthetic, like, bristle. You know, if they were to tell me, like, oh, it's actual horsehair, then, like, sure.
This is exciting because I can actually jump in on this. So, I have done mini painting previously for Dungeons and Dragons as opposed to Warhammer 40K, which there's a lot of similarities in between them. Mm-hmm. And so my brush set, which you might have heard me, you know, jingling around in the cup here, I use Artist Loft, which is from Michaels. We're not sponsored by Michaels, by the way. I know it keeps coming up. We're not actually sponsored by them, but I genuinely do shop there, and that is where I got my brush set that I've had for, I think, close to two and a half years now, and they have worked great. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
like Marshall's saying, you don't got to go crazy buying the most expensive possible brushes, especially when you're starting out, you know? You should expect that you're going to wreck some of your brushes just in the process of learning how to paint the models and how much pressure you should use on them and what type of brush to use for different applications and things like that. So don't start off right away feeling like you got to break the bank just on the brushes themselves.
Yeah.
Don't go super cheap, but also you don't got to go super high end. You know, just get something that's going to get you started until you get more familiar with the process.
Yeah, don't get like the Crayola brush.
Exactly. Like, yeah,
you know,
there's a middle ground that you can find
that's
pretty
still
easily.
Inexpensive too. That is still incredibly inexpensive. And like I said, there'll be a lot of people like they'll be like, Poorhammer had a podcast semi recently where they talked about an airbrush, and he kind of made the note of like, there's no reason you shouldn't start with an airbrush, and I have a reason, and it's that. Look, when you're starting out, you can, like, an airbrush with, like, the airbrush and everything, like, that's five or six kits, which, when you're just starting, matters a whole lot. Because, like, look, if I'm going to have potentially an airbrush or 2,000 points of gray figures, I'm going to take 2,000 points of gray figures. I think it's really easy when, especially, like, you're knee-deep or not even, you're, like, head fully drowned into the hobby, you know, to like kind of get into that idea of like, I should have got this sooner, or like this, you can be new and learn to airbrush. And that's totally true. You can absolutely, if you have the money, if you, you know, if you're dummy rich or whatever, you want to start with the airbrush, go for it. You can absolutely learn it first. There's nothing wrong with it. But like from a budgetary kind of perspective, to me, it is generally a lot more fitting to kind of just be like, I'm going to get the kits. I'm going to build them and learn to paint. Or not even that. Like, I'm just going to get the couple kits, like the one or two that I'm deciding between, paint and build those up for kill team and go from there. Don't be afraid of the airbrush, but don't go to it too fast, because it's a lot of money. Even $300 near its cheapest is a lot. And that's a lot of portion of an army too. And again, sometimes it's better, especially if you're playing just with like friends, it's just better to have 2,000 points of gray figures. You should get to painting them, but you can do it later.
Yeah, and you want to be sure that you are, you know, really into the hobby itself before you're putting down that much of an investment.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, some paint buying tips. Again, these are going to be specifically for, like, especially brush-based ones. But contrast paints are a new painter's best friend. Oh, my God. I love contrast paints. I am like contrast paint pilled. Like, they're so good because, you know, they teach you two things, right? You, especially if you learn the slap chop method, you actually get to learn very quickly and easily how to dry brush. Then you, and again, if you fuck that up, you can still use the contrast paints and have a good looking model. But otherwise, you can start with even just like a gray primed mini or whatever color primed mini and kind of go to town. I will note that contrast paints generally don't work as well if you're using a black primer, but you can make them work. It's all dependent on kind of how you feel like your scheme and whatnot. You can always experiment and figure stuff out, but that is something to keep in mind. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, you know, contrast paints are awesome. I love them. Otherwise, when it comes to painting your models, just do whatever paint scheme you want, right? You can do the normal paint scheme you want, or if you want your own armies and just have something different that isn't in the lore normally, just go for it. My first army build, I started the army, I was going to do Order of the Bloody Rose with the sisters. But I was going through and I was seeing all these other battle reports with like different looking armies, and I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, I can just do whichever, like, I can play with it. There's no reason that I have to stick with one paint scheme, especially with the way the rules are going and went in 10th edition, where the rules aren't tied to your paint scheme anymore. They're just tied to the models you play and the keywords mm-hmm. they have. And that's exactly how it should be, in my opinion. So just use whatever scheme you want and find the colors and paint them however you like. You do whatever you like. Live! Otherwise, I want to talk a little bit about getting used models, because, man, is it the way to go. Like, you need... try to find a seller anywhere near you that does use model buying and selling. Because while GW for some reason frowns upon stores doing so, there are so many realms, whether it be Miniswap, eBay, whatever, you know, that you can find great levels of models for so much less money. I recently had garnered a pretty sizable collection already of a Drukhari army, and a lot of it, I will note, half of the thing that I got was free because they were abandoned by somebody who went to Europe, okay. Like to live in Europe, and they didn't want them back, so they didn't want to deal with getting them over there. So, but the other, like, kind of half of that collection now that I have, I got for way less than the amount that it would cost to get them all new, because I just bought them used, and most of them are just kind of like primed and sitting black and all that. So it is awesome to get used models, essentially the good rule of thumb is to kind of generally try to get something that is 30% off the new price, especially if you're looking at something on eBay. Now, if they're painted, you'll probably need to look at paying closer to that MSRP, but then you're also getting a lot of the work done for you. So it's kind of like a time, you know, like a cost and time kind of difference. Otherwise, you know, a great place to look at is usually if stores will buy and sell used models, they often will like keep spare sprues or like sprues that have like unused bits in them. And those are mm-hmm. great for kit bashing things. And sometimes you can kind of scrounge and find ways to kind of combine those with the sprues that you have left over, kind of combine them together, and you can make something new, and you can kind of almost create extra like commanders and characters a lot of times. So similar then also, keep your own sprues. Don't just throw them out right when you're done with them. Unless they are completely empty, keep them around. You never know when you'll go back to them.
This applies to Gundam as well, but we're going to stay on topic.
Well, but that's valid, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's going to be some final things. The final kind of segment here is kind of the other miscellaneous things that I want new people to keep in mind. And then I'm definitely going to want to take any number of your questions, especially then you can kind of hit me with some of your armies.
Sure.
So WYSIWYG is a goal, not a baseline.
What?
What you see is what you get.
One more time.
It's the acronym. What you see is what you get.
Oh.
So okay. It's the concept of when you look at the model, whatever is on that model is what that model has. So if that model has a bolter, they have a bolter. They don't have a flamer. They don't have a plasma gun. They have a bolter.
That makes sense. Okay.
And this is a goal, but it is not a baseline. You will, especially when you are new, do not focus and get caught up on, oh, but what if I want to make this a flamer unit later? I want to make this a plasma unit later, but I want to use the flamer now. Put the flamer.
It's my flamer and I want it now.
Exactly, though. But like, just put the flamer on it. And then later down the line, I'm literally doing this with my sisters now. I am running most of my flamers. I'm just saying that they're Meltas because mm-hmm. WYSIWYG is for the rich. I don't have the money or the time to constantly try to cut off, re-glue, or build another set that has the meta correct or the just, I thought of this army type and I wanted to run it one, and I wanted to run it a couple times. Like, I'm not going to build a whole unit just for like a random strategy that I came up with, you know, in the shower, right? Like, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So build it with the weapons you want. You can use magnets. Magnets are super useful with model building. Especially in something like 40K where you can kind of swap weapons. I have two knight type models. They're the smaller knights. And I magnetized their weapon sets because they're big models. They're really easy to magnetize. But I tried magnetizing a weapon on a Chaos Space Marine, and that sucks. It doesn't sit right. It's very hard to get it to sit right. And I tried it with the sisters. That also sucked. It sits weird. I got it to look okay, but it's not great. So that being said, don't worry about WYSIWYG. I made the attempt to see how it would go if trying the magnets thing. It's just tough. You can find models that'll do it just fine. But honestly, just build with the thing you want, especially if it's just the weapon you think will look cool. What I will note, though, is when you were building the model, be very sure to look up what you can put weapon-wise in it. Because, for example, in the sister's box, it's really easy to make every sister's model with like all the special weapons options, right? So you'll end up with like three bolt sisters with bolters, and then the captain, and then like a heavy gunner, and then like four or five like special gun units. And in a normal sisters battle squad for kill team or 40K, you generally, well, for 40 kill team, you can have a little bit more, but again, generally you would only have one. So, or like two, like one or two of like the special guns and then one heavy. So
sure.
Do look up what is like the weapon loadout option, and not like I said, not specifically like what loadout should I take, but more like look up like you can build this many special gun, this many heavy gunner, and then one leader, and then everything else has to have this build. Like, for example, with sisters, you know, you can look up and it'll say like you have to have six models that have just normal bolt guns, one leader, two that have special guns, and one that has the heavy gun. That's it. Because I made that mistake building the first box of sisters. I built it with like every option, and you can't do that. So do look up the rules on how you can build your army for either kill team or for 40K. A lot of times though, they're very similar. Otherwise, 3D printing, always an option. It's a great way to save money. If you have the 3D printer, just go for it. Obviously, you're not going to get like total ripoff models, right? Like there's a lot of legal aspects to that. But you can get really cool, unique models that work. You know, I have a number of STLs that a friend is kind of slowly getting through paint or building and printing for a Exodite Eldar army. And I'll tell you what, getting the number of models I bought like six or seven, like, quote unquote, units of STLs. And it cost me the amount a single unit's GW box.
Okay.
Like, I essentially got 10 for one units. So 3D printing is a great option. There is nothing wrong with showing up with an entirely 3D printed army. The two things you want to just keep in mind, though, with that is obviously you can't go to a GW sponsored of like tournament, which, I don't know, if you're kind of sitting in the realm of dedicating to 3D printing, I think going to a GW tournament is kind of out the window anyway, but you can just go to your local game stores. They'll be fine. Otherwise, you know, just be aware of like what bases they're getting put on. Just always keep in mind the bases, the base sizes. You know, don't try to, like, when you're in the model editor, you know, for your printer, don't try not to mess with the sizes. The modelers that make the STLs do a really good job at keeping them to be the correct size. And the reason that matters is just because of like rule stuff. You don't want to be called a cheater just because you thought you needed to expand the base to make the model fit better, right?
Yeah.
That'd be the worst. So, but otherwise, 3D printing, awesome option if you've got it. I still like to get a lot of the official GW stuff because, let's face it, like, the designs that GW came up with is the ones that I fell in love with. It's hard to completely, you know, eradicate yourself of them. But there are a lot of great options to supplement and to help you. So that doesn't, you can always go the both route. 3D print stuff and buy stuff. The world is your oyster. Otherwise, tell me about those armies.
So like I mentioned before, I had coming into this episode, oh gosh, let me close out my 50 tabs. I had four armies that I was like, these are the ones I'm heavily considering right now. These are the ones that I feel like I would most personally be interested in. I think they're the most appealing to me. They're the coolest to me. Do you want to guess them before I say which ones they are?
Sure. I think one is Dark Angels. Is that right?
Well, I wanted you to... what are your four guesses? I said four, right?
Okay. Well, yeah. So, So, I'll say...
Yeah, let's get all four.
I'm thinking Dark Angels.
Okay.
Tau.
Okay.
Dark Angels, Tau, Eldar, like Eldari. And Orcs.
All right. So, Dark Angels, Tau, Eldari, and Orc.
Yeah.
Marshall, you got one of four.
Ooh. All right. Which one did I get right?
I think you know which one you got right.
Tau?
The Tau, from the second we started talking about them, it was just like, these guys, this is everything that I am vibing with. This is what I'm into. I actually... What you were saying before about how they are largely more of a long-range shooting type army, I actually do find that really interesting. Just as somebody who is obviously not super familiar with the main mechanics of the game, I find that interesting that they kind of stand out from a lot of these other armies in that way. And they just look incredibly cool to me and really interesting, so... Yeah, that's been basically at the top of the list since you first introduced them to me, and that has not changed. But the other three, I'm kind of surprised on this one. Well, unless I'm forgetting a name here.
Sure, I mean, you can start,
and you can correct me if I'm thinking of the same thing. Yeah. But yeah, the Adeptus Sororitas.
Okay.
Also a huge fan of this army. Adeptus Sororitas, extremely cool looking, really interesting lore to them. Just even like the Battle Sisters squad to me, the units are just incredibly cool.
They're a great representation of the army, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that for me was like, this was such a strong, like, second place for me of, like, if not the Tau, then absolutely considering the Sororitas. Love them. And then we get to... these last two were the ones that I was a little bit more, like, back and forth on. Where, like, I was, you know, wasn't super, super committed, but liked aspects of them. So there is, of course, the Astra Militarum. Themselves. As you said from the beginning, a lot of people sometimes they just like to play humans because they relate to humans, and I do find a lot of these units, particularly the Tempestus Scions, love the look of the Tempestus Scions, but a lot of the units in general, like a lot of the guardsmen, I think are just really, really interesting, really cool. And I've always felt like it would just kind of be like a good starting army, anyhow. Definitely was looking at them as well. And then last, but absolutely not least, was another one where the look of the army as well as the lore and the story behind them really caught my attention early on. And that is the Leagues of Votann.
Yeah.
Love me their design. You kind of touched on it a bit. You know, it has this very sort of rustic corporate sci-fi look to a lot of their vehicles and their armor. That's really cool. And I feel like it really kind of sets it apart from other units the same way that the Tau's look is very unique and interesting. So the Votann for me, I was like, you know... I have a history of not really playing like dwarf races or like dwarf characters in other fantasy settings like D&D or Pathfinder or anything like that, you know. It's not usually who I go to. I don't have a lot of history with dwarves, but There's something about, either, you know, there's something about the Votan specifically that is just like really interesting to me. And I was like, man, I think these guys would actually be pretty cool to run something with. So, yeah, Leagues of Votan also in the running as well. So those are actually my four.
Kind of going through each of them. I mean, all of them have, I mean, first of all of them have, you know, for if you wanted to start in the kill team realm, you know, they all have your options. In fact, guardsmen kind of have a couple, especially if you, for example, like the Deathcore Krieg. I think what's nice about the guard too is the fact that like you can there's kind of a couple of aesthetics that you can go to. And honestly, I'm going to say this now, especially if you want a good 3D printer army, guard is awesome. Awesome options. Because guard is supposed to have so many world-based flavors. Cadians are obviously the ones that get the most models and poster children, right? Because that's the main design that GW goes with. And it's the one that most of us have seen. But like technically, in terms of lore, so many are out there that like just you could kind of just go make one, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that really helps. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, Tau, you know, we went over that in the episode that we talked about them. I mean, they're perfect for somebody who literally like is coming to 40K from Gunpla, you know, like,
yeah,
they just are perfect for that. You know, but like, honestly, like if you want to kind of learn and get into how their infantry work, it's actually a kill team. Their kill team is actually, to me, like kind of a really good way, I think, to make you kind of think and learn about the troop units, because I think it's the mechs are kind of easy to think about how you use them, but you use them like a mech. But you might be kind of curious, like, well, if I need an infantry unit, where can that go? Because those are the ones that are going to probably be your back line, right? The mechs are going to be able to go up a bit more because they have the tankiness, you know? They're mechs. Another great entry point into doing the more actual 40K thing are their combat patrols. The Tau combat patrol, a lot of people didn't like it when it came out. I actually think it's great because the fact that it comes with a vehicle is actually crazy good. This edition, because in 10th edition for combat patrols, they're essentially like trying to keep out as many vehicles as possible. So the fact that you get one in this box, I think really matters, especially with the one it is. I forget the name of it. They're all like named after fish. It's the devil fish. I think you can technically build it as more than one model, but I think it's a great kick because you get a battle suit and then you get, you know, two infantry units and then, you know, a tank. That's a great jumping off point. It's also a great box you could get more than once and save a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
The sisters, this one isn't as good. The one they got now isn't as good as the one they had previous edition, but kind of like I said, it's also somewhat dependent on what you want in your army. You know, do you want Arcoflagellants? Do you want the Celestian Sacrosants? Then maybe it is good for you. But it is, the downside with it is it's probably not one to get more than one copy of, like maybe just two or something. Otherwise, I think the Astra Militarum is, you know, it doesn't get a lot because it doesn't have like a tank in it. But the fact that it has two heavy military units and then the walker and then like a bunch of infantry, it's great for collecting more than one, you know? And that's kind of what you want in these boxes, right? In these intro boxes. It's one you want to be able to get more than one of. And that kind of same goes, that somewhat is similar with Leagues of Votan. However, because they're kind of limited realm of character units, you probably maybe want two of this and then just get what else otherwise, you know? by getting two, you're pretty set on a lot of the stuff. You can just get all the other cool things, you know? And I feel like Votan probably pretty also good in a position for doing 3D prints, you know, because they don't have a lot of lore. So there's not a lot of things to be wrong about. And they have kind of generic enough looks already that, like, you could probably find some cool looking STLs for Votan. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I think any of these are stuff, you know, I mean, I think anybody could be happy with any army. But I think, yeah, I mean, any of these, to me, I think you could always find ways to get, you know, into it and, you know, build a function or a way up, you know. And they all have great kill team options if that's something you would want to like start with, you know. Like, just build a kill team and then just kind of do it simply this way by just kind of playing it a little bit in this realm and seeing how you feel. And then the benefit would be if you're interested in sisters, since I have sisters. And if we ever play in person, then you can just use my sisters.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's always an option, right? Use your friends, you know, be of helping hand. But yeah, no, that's good. Cause I was gonna say, I think when we get into the next episode, we're going to kind of finally get into the kind of building. So the warning that I gave about the like magnets and the building, or make sure you follow certain things. We're going to actually really kind of get into like, where do you find those rules? What do you need to look at? What do you need to look for? You know, how maybe should I decide what I want to do? Right. Because just because, you know, you don't have to think too hard about it doesn't mean you shouldn't at all. It is still a game. There's still a game to be played. And there's some thought that you can always put into it. Just not that deep. Not yet, at least. Later. That's a later thing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Anything about any other quick hobby advice you can think of?
The same rules for the paintbrushes apply for any nips or cutters that you get. Again, you don't worry about breaking the bank. If we want to talk about it in a future episode, we can. The whole, like, you know, everybody uses God hand situation. If we want to talk about that another time, we can, but otherwise don't worry about breaking the bank, especially when you're starting out. Don't get something super cheap, but also don't feel like you got to get the highest premium. You're beginning a new hobby. The goal is to see whether or not it's something that you really want to invest that time and money into before you do it and then end up having regret. So
yeah,
I mean, feel free to just have fun first.
Yeah. Like go to the hobby or go to the, like, you know, the Home Depot or the hardware store, just get ones that are small.
Yes.
Don't get the big ones.
Yeah. Big ones are going to get in the way. Yeah. It get a little bit more difficult to cut out some of the smaller pieces. So,
yeah. So just get the smaller ones that you'll find and you'll be good, but whatever, you know, don't worry about whatever brand or whatever. Oh, one last thing. If somebody tells you when you're starting the hobby to drill the holes into your guns, don't ever talk to that person again. All right.
So I got this new cordless drill.
All right. See you next week.
Goodbye.